Welcome to Riches in Christ Radio Ministry with Diane Kennedy. Please stay tuned at the end of today's lesson. We'll give you information on how you can acquire this week's tape, along with information about our weekly meetings and website. Now, here's Diane Kennedy.
This week, we're continuing our discussion of learning to see God as He truly is and ourselves as we truly are in relationship to Him. If you want to overcome in the midst of the hardships of life, you need to see reality as it truly is. You need to see God as He truly is and yourself as you truly are in relationship to Him. And we've made the point, we began it last week, that the starting point for developing an accurate picture of reality, an accurate picture of who God is and who you are in relation to Him, the starting point is knowing that God is for you because He loves you. So we've been discussing why God loves us, if I can say it that way, because many Christians struggle with believing God loves them. They feel like He loves other people more than them, but that's because we don't understand His love is not a response to something in us. It is an expression of who He is. He is love. God's love is unconditional. That means there are no conditions you have to meet to have His love. You have His love. And it means there are no conditions you can meet which will cause you to lose His love. You have His love. The cross is the supreme display of the love of God for men, the unconditional love of God for men. God died for you while you were a sinner, an enemy, a rebel in full rebellion against Him. And we've been making the point that if God loved you enough to die for you on your worst day, which was any day before you were saved, and if He loved you enough to meet your greatest need, which was salvation from your sins, why would He love you less now that you are His son or daughter? Now, yesterday we began to look at the fact that God loves and values men, you and me, because we are His creation. God loved you before He created the earth. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 through 6 tell us that. God loves you because you are His creation. Now, we were in Acts chapter 17 yesterday, and I want to start up again in that chapter. I ended kind of abruptly because I ran out of time, and I want to explain this passage because it's a blessing, because it shows us the value that we have to God. In Acts chapter 17, Paul went to the city of Athens, and we said his heart was stirred when he saw the massive idol worship in the city. Some philosophers invited him to come to a place called Mars Hill to speak. It was an area of the city where religious ideas were debated. That's all they did all day was talk about different ideas. And this man, Paul, was preaching a resurrection. And that sounded interesting. Well, when he got there, there were altars to idols all over the place, and one was labeled to the unknown God, and he used that as the segue to preach the true God to them. And I read verses 23 through 27 yesterday, where Paul basically says, look, God made the earth and the heavens and everything in it. He doesn't dwell in man-made temples. In fact, He's not dependent on men for anything. It is He who gives life to everything. Paul goes on to say that God made the first man from whom all races of men have come, and His purpose was that they should seek Him and find Him because He's not far from any one of us. Then he makes a statement in verse 28, which we're familiar with. Let me reread it. For in Him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are His offspring. In Him we live and move and have our being. You've probably heard that phrase before. I said yesterday it was a popular worship chorus when I first came to the Lord. It was a good song, In Him we live and move and have our being. I'm not musical. I'm not going to sing it. But the interesting thing is we sang it about ourselves as Christians, but Paul was not talking to Christians. He was talking to idol-worshiping heathens. Let me read it out of a couple other translations. The basic translation says, "For in him we have life and motion and existence." Wyss translation says, "For in him we derive our life and have motion." This is idol worshiping heathens. He's saying, you got your life from God. Then Paul says, as one of your own poets have said, for we also are his offspring. He quotes one of the Athenian poets who said, we are God's offspring. Now, if we keep reading, we find out that Paul does not dispute that statement, that they are God's offspring. In fact, he goes on to agree with it. Let me read verse 29. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's device. He says, now keep in mind, he's going to preach Jesus to him, and he's saying the unknown God is the God who made heaven and earth. He gave you your life and existence. In him you live and move and have your being. In fact, one of your own poets has said, we are God's offspring. Well then, seeing as how we're the offspring of God, we shouldn't imagine that God is like any of these idols we've carved. Paul reasons upwards to expose the foolishness of the Athenians' idol worship. He says, since you're God's creation, it's not right for us to have the idea that God has any resemblance to these carved idols of yours. Do you see that? Does that make sense? But let's get back to this we are God's offspring statement. Let me read that out of Beck's translation. It says, now then, since we have our being from God. Goodspeed says, so if we are God's children. Now, listen to me very carefully. Paul was not saying that all men are God's children in the sense that all men are automatically saved. That's a very common idea. You hear that, oh, it's the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of all men. We're all God's children. No, we're not. We become children of God through faith in Christ. You have to come back to Father's house through Jesus to be saved from your sin. By his statement, Paul is meaning God is your creator. Verse 29 here, we are the offspring of God. The concordant literal translation says the race is then inherently of God. Inherent means being part of the essential nature or character of a person or thing. Men are by nature God's offspring. See, we're talking about what you truly are in relation to God. In your fallen condition, you were still God's offspring. Not God's son or child through faith in Christ yet. Not God's child like you didn't need to be saved. No, that's not what Paul's saying. He's making the point that we're the offspring of God. There's a lot we could say about Paul's words, but the point for our discussion is this. God loves men. Men have value to God because they are his offspring or his creation. Have you ever made something, worked really hard on it, and been really proud of it, even if it wasn't very good? Oh, yeah, that cake slants a little bit, but I sure do like that slant. You can understand that. You are God's offspring. He's talking to idol-worshiping heathens. Why? To illustrate. Now, he's using this to illustrate to them, if you're the offspring of God, if you came from God, then that ought to tell you these carved idols you've got sitting here are not God. And he doesn't bear any resemblance to any of these things. But see, we can learn something really important here about the value that men have to God. See, we said this last week. The Bible refers to unsaved men as lost. And let me be very clear once again. I am not saying that everybody's automatically saved because they're a human being and God made them. That's a heresy from hell. You have to come back to Father's house through faith in Christ because your sins have to be dealt with. But on the other side, we don't want to water down the value that men have to God. just because some people have taken certain statements and gone too far. The Bible refers to unsaved men as lost. Now, we asked this question last week. Why are sinners called lost? Now, we all know that, but did you ever think about it? Why aren't they just called dirty, rotten scoundrels like they are? Why are they called lost? Well, sinners are called lost because in their rebellion and fallen condition, they're lost to the purpose for which God created them. Sonship, relationship with God as their Father, holiness, blamelessness. Jesus, who is God incarnate, God in human flesh, came to seek and save lost men to bring them back to their created purpose, which is to become sons through faith in Christ, to be made holy and blameless, and then live in a loving relationship with God as their Father forever. Now, you remember, we looked at Luke 15 last week, where the Pharisees criticized Jesus for associating with publicans and sinners. They did that a lot. We discussed that in detail last week. But he responded by telling three parables in Luke 15, one about a lost sheep, one about a lost coin, and one about a lost son. A man had 100 sheep. One went missing. He left the 99 to go find the one. A lady had a bunch of silver coins. She lost one and turned the house upside down until she found it. Then when the man found the sheep and the lady found the coin, they rejoiced and called their friends in to rejoice with them. In each parable, the owners searched diligently until they found the lost item, and then they rejoiced greatly until the items were found. The listeners would have understood the point Jesus was making. Lost items don't lose their value when they are lost. You don't give up on them because they're lost. Now, in the context in which Jesus told these parables, remember what it is. Well, read it in case you forgot. Verses 1 and 2. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And Jesus spake this parable unto them, saying, and then he goes on and talks about the lost sheep and the lost coin and the lost son. In response to their criticism of him eating with sinners, he told some parables about how lost items don't lose their value because they're lost, and you seek until you find them, and then when you find them, you rejoice about them. Why? Lost men are God's creation. They're lost to their created purpose, but they haven't lost their value to God. Amen. Amen.
You've been listening to Diane Kennedy. Let's face it, everyone is busy these days, and when it comes to God's Word, there's a lot to learn. Diane can help you maximize your study time. For starters, you can order this week's lesson on tape or CD, or join Diane every Friday night for a live, in-depth teaching right here in St. Louis, Missouri, with worship provided by Mercy's Child. We meet at 7:30 p.m. each Friday at 4720 Jameson, right in the heart of beautiful St. Louis Hills. You'll be in the company of believers with like faith and passions. And we hope to see you this Friday. Send this teaching forth by partnering with us. Monthly partners help pay for radio time and receive our best teachings. Diane provides a website with MP3 audio, downloadable study guides, and much more. Visit www.richesinchrist.com. For more information, call us toll-free at 1-888-739-6619. That's toll-free 1-888-739-6619.